Father, we thank you for this time we have in the Word tonight. Oh, we love your Word, Lord. We set our love upon you. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for this time together. Lord, your living Word, we love it. We set our love upon your Word. We thank you for the honor we have of coming before your throne tonight as your children. We thank you, Lord, that you pour out abundantly upon us with revelation of who you are and who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that this word is living and abiding in us and bringing forth healing and health and restoration, deliverance, healing, and the good things of God flowing in and through us. We call forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. We thank you, Lord, that we're fruitful branches on the tree of life, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The title of our message tonight is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, Part 45. And the title of tonight's message is Your Faith, the Activator. So we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. We're on faithfulness or faith. And as I mentioned last week, it depends on the translation you get. That word in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, with a list of fruits of the Spirit, as I mentioned last week, the word in some translations is faithfulness. Others is faith. Those are the two major words that they use. The Weymouth translation translate that word as benevolence, and there's a few other translations that translate it differently. We're going to study both faith and faithfulness, because when you look at God and at the fruit of the Spirit, both are applicable to who he is.
Amen.
He's faithful. There's no one more faithful than God. And it would be an attribute of his ways of being faithful. We'll be studying that. It's also, he is faith. I mean, his faith created everything. You know, and he's been given us a measure of faith, as we'll see. So we're going to start, last week was the first week. For the next few weeks, we'll be talking about faith. Tonight, we're talking about faith, the activator. This is our opening statement for faith. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are faithful to God and his living word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living word. Now, this is a person that's walking a faith walk with God. They're anchored in God's word. We're going to start with Galatians 5, 22 through 23. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And we are founding this particular section on walking in the ways of the Lord on the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll list those. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. People get confused about that. Against such there is no law. It means there is nothing can stop it. It's an attribute of God. It cannot be stopped. It can't be stopped. But it's the fruit of the Spirit is present in every single born-again child of God. When you get born again, the Spirit comes in, the fruit's there because he's there. The Amplified says, the fruit of his presence. These fruits are present, but it don't mean we're walking in them. It's things that we need to develop in our life as we walk through our daily life as Christians. The Greek word that's used in Galatians 5:22 for the word faith or faithfulness is that thing right there. I can't say it, and I'm not going to try. But it's translated pistis. And that's the word used there. And it's used in the King James. That word is used over 240 times in the King James Version of the Bible. The Greek word pistis is translated both as faithfulness and faith. It translated both ways, and both are correct. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. So just a little recap from last week. The reason that it's important to study faith and to understand faith is because of this verse right here. It says why it's so important. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So if you're not walking in faith in the Word, faith in God, you can't please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That word diligent is important. You can seek God but not be diligent about it. You can seek Him for 2 days and stop, and then pick up a month later. That's not being diligent. You'll never find out who you are. You'll never understand God because you're not diligent. If you're diligent in your relationship, you'll be amazed what God will show you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Why? Because you can't get to Him without faith. You can't get born again without faith. You got born again because you believed. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that you get saved. That's the only way you can get saved. You have to have faith to believe. So you can't get to Him without it. And that's what activates your prayer life. Faith is very important to everything we do. The Bible definition of it, last week we went to Thayer's and Strong's and all of that, and Webster's, and we got the definition there for faith and faithfulness. But the Bible has its own definition for faith, what the Bible calls Bible faith. And it's found here in Hebrews 11:1, just up the same verse to the beginning of the verse. Now this is the Amplified Classic. I like it better. We looked at three versions last week, the Passion Translation, the Amplified, and the New King James. We're just going to have about two, or I think there's only two Amplified verses tonight. But I like the way this says it because it really explains faith in a deep way so that we can understand it. Now faith is. The very first word there is now. Faith only works in the now, as we said last week. It cannot work in the future. It cannot work in the past. Faith only works in the now. Hope works in the future. It cannot work in the now. So they have their own jobs, but they work together. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. So here you can see faith and hope working together. Without faith, hope can't come to pass. Without hope, faith can't work. It's limited to the now. See, so it requires both of them. Faith, hope, and patience to get you to the hope. The substance of things, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. If you can see it, you don't need faith for it. If you're working on something with your faith, you're praying, you're believing something is going to happen, you're basing what's going to happen on the Word, so you've got an anchor for your faith. You're applying your faith to the Word, but it's not visible yet. It's not confirmed. It can't be seen. Faith is your assurance that it's there. Just like when you buy something from Amazon or someplace, and it takes a while to get to you, or you buy a smoker. They trust you. They send Lisa money, and she receives that money. They don't have their smoker. But they have faith that they're going to get it. Now, you don't just take their money. You send them a confirmation. I received this money from you. Your smoker should arrive at such and such time. So they trust you. They have faith in what you said, what you sent to them. So that's what this is. Now faith is the assurance. It's the same thing with the word. God said this. He backed this Bible up with his blood of Jesus. It's absolute truth. It cannot be changed. It's absolute. So I take my faith that he gave me. I apply it to that word. I believe it. When I believe it, my faith in that word is the assurance that it's going to take place. It's a title deed to it. It's going to happen unless I draw my faith away from it. Unless I start doubting, then I got to start over. So as long as I got my faith applied to the word, believing it, I've got my assurance and my confirmation. But once that faith arrives at where hope is, as soon as you apply your faith to the word, hope jumps out there and starts working. So it's busy in the future. Faith is working in the now. So once you paid for it, you're applying your faith to the word, you got confirmation, faith starts moving towards the hope. Once the faith gets in the same now moment as the hope, faith doesn't have anything to do anymore. Neither does hope, because you have it. That package arrived. The guy got his smoker. He don't have to believe you anymore. He's got it. It's the same thing here. When we apply faith to the word, or we have faith, we're praying for something, we have faith in it, that's what we're doing. We're trusting God. He gave us a confirmation in his word. It's real and it's true. I have the responsibility of believing it. That's how this works. That is a Bible definition of faith. The assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That smoker hasn't arrived. He can't sense it, he can't know it, but he's got your receipt. He's got proof that he owns it. We got a title deed to our house, as I mentioned last week. Paid for. Praise God. Paid for. Even if I lost a paper, it's still paid for. It's recorded other places. I've got proof I paid for it. I don't have to have faith to pay on my house off. It's paid off. My faith and hope and patience all work together to get there. But once it got together in the same now moment, voila. That's how your prayer works. Faith and your prayer with the word work together. Faith is always now. It can't work anywhere else. Faith can only work in the now. Faith cannot work in the future. Hope works only in the future as a blueprint or guide for our faith. It's like a beacon, that aircraft you take off in an airplane. You're going to the Los Angeles. Los Angeles has a beacon. That plane has a receiver. It locks in on the beacon, pushes the automatic pilot, and off they go. The plane's going to Los Angeles. He doesn't really have to know navigation, that pilot. It's going to go to Los Angeles.
He doesn't
better know how to land. You better know how to land, yeah. But that's the way hope is. It's there. It's a beacon for my faith. And it'll stay there until the building blocks are put together and whatever I'm praying for. Faith and hope are both anchored in the word. They require the word. Faith will not work without the word. Hope cannot work without the word. They're both anchored in the word. Faith and hope work together along with patience. What has patience to do with it? Well, you've got faith in your now moment, right this moment. That's where faith works. Hope doesn't work here. It can't do anything here. It's out there in the future. Well, in order to get to that hope out there, and get this thing put together, for the two to come together, it requires patience. Every time I get in a now moment, my patience keeps my faith working. Another now moment, my faith and patience are working together. Another now moment, my faith and patience are working together. It's going to the hope.
Expectation.
Yeah, absolute, earnest expectation is what hope is. That's Bible hope, not man's hope. Hope is maybe it will, maybe it won't. You'll never get it that way. Bible hope is absolute, earnest expectation. So you see the process. Patience is the link between the two. You know, I can have power at the power plant and have lights here, but there has to be something connecting the two. Now, I can turn that switch on and off all night long and never get a light on if I didn't have a connection. That's what patience is. It has to be there. Patience is connected to both my hope in the future and my faith in my now. And every now moment, my faith and my patience upgrade. My faith can't work in the last now moment. When I started this, my faith won't work there anymore. It's a different now moment. But it can work right now. You see? But my hope can't work here. It's got business in the future. See, faith and hope work in time and eternity. Faith is a heart condition. It's not a head condition. And so many of us think, well, I believe that. And it's more of a mental consent. Something happens that it looks like, or somebody tries to talk you out of it, it looks like it's not going to work, or your faith went out the door. No, if it's faith, it didn't go out the door. But if it's mental consent, just something you believe in your head, it's going to go out the door. Because this guy proved you carnally, or in the natural, that can't work. But Bible faith is not based on what we see. Based on what we can't see. What we can see is the Word. And like Mother mentioned last week, we can see Jesus. Mm-hmm. We've got a rock solid evidence of what this is true. Mm-hmm. But natural man can't see it. Mm-hmm. So if you can't base your faith in the natural, you'll wind up doubting. But if you base it on the Word, which is eternal and cannot change or be changed, mm-hmm. Base it on that, it drops into your heart. Now it's a heart condition. It's coming from the heart, not the head. You don't have to understand it. Well, I got to know exactly what's wrong with this body, or I can't pray for it. No, you don't have to know what's wrong with your body. By His stripes ye were healed. It doesn't say of this or of that or of another. It says by His stripes ye were healed. Jesus died on the cross once for all. Amen. Same blood was shed for arthritis, the same blood that was shed for cancer. Mm-hmm. It's all one single blood. Mm-hmm. I'm healed, period.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what's wrong. I don't need to know that great big old two-story name. When faith and patience and hope all meet in the now, that now moment, you have manifestation. Until they meet, faith and hope meet, there's no manifestation yet. But you have a deed. The bill of sale. Lisa's got the money. And it's been shipped. So it's going to arrive. Or somebody will call you. God's word is absolute truth. And that's the number one thing you need to, when you're praying. When you assign your faith to the Scripture, you have to make a decision. It's truth. It is, even if I don't believe it's true. It doesn't change the Word. The Word is truth, whether I believe it or not. It only changes what it does for me. If I don't believe it, this thing's going to work for me. If I believe it, it'll work. It is absolute truth. John 17:17 is the Amplified Classic. I think it's the last Amplified Classic. Jesus is praying the high priestly prayer that he prayed just a couple hours before the cross. He's in the garden and he's praying. This is his last prayer. John 17:17. Jesus prayed, sanctify them. Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. He's talking to God. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Find out what truth is there. It's His word. It's absolute truth, cannot be changed. I like assigning that word absolute to it. Something that's absolute can never be changed. Absolute zero is absolute zero. That's it. You can't get any lower than that. Faith applied to the absolute truth of God's word always brings results. I apply my faith to the absolute truth of God's word. There's a scripture here I'm standing on, whatever it might be. I'm standing on that. I prayed it. I believed it. I thank God for it. That's mine. It's applied to the absolute truth. It will bring results unless I stop. If I start doubting it, if I start thinking, well, I don't see anything yet. How long is this going to take? You just unplugged. See, faith doesn't worry about how long it's going to take because you already got your deed. It doesn't matter where that thing goes. I ordered a couple shirts a few years ago from Walmart. Supposed to have been here in a couple of days. Took 3 weeks. They actually came into the post office here. Tracking said it did. But then they sent it out again. And it wound up in Sullivan, St. Louis, Kansas City, and then came back here. It did come. I did get the shirts. I was starting to wonder. And they couldn't answer where it went to. But as you tracked it, it said arrived here and arrived there. Said, well, if it came to St. James, why send it out again? That's amazing to me. So faith applied to the absolute truth of God's word always brings results. You can count on. If you don't believe it's going to bring results, your faith isn't working. Don't blame God that it didn't come to pass because you turned it off. There's two involved in the manifestation, you and God, or you and the Word. Those two have to be there. You can't just ask God to do something. He can't do it without your faith. And we're going to be looking at that. Ephesians 3:20. I love Ephesians. Anybody that studies the Bible ought to live in Ephesians for about 2 months. It's one of the most powerful letters in the Bible. And it really explains what God did, who He is, talks about His love, talks about who we are and how to walk with the Lord. And it teaches us how to stand in times of trouble. It really is an excellent book. Ephesians 3:20. Now to, and this is an actual prayer that Paul prayed. For the sake of time, I'm only taking a certain verse out on these because for the sake of time. But he's talking about our faith. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now people stop there. But there's more to that verse. Can God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Yes, He can. But there's a qualifier. According to the power that works in us. Now, who determines what God can do as far as we're concerned? We do. According to the power that works in us. According to our faith. According to our faith. That's as far as God can go concerning me. So I limit God. God's unlimited except where I'm concerned. He'll do everything He can out of compassion and mercy and grace and love to get me wherever I need to be and to answer. But I'm involved. I'm always involved in what God does. Let's look at the next one. Mark 9:22-23. is what we're going to look at. The actual scripture is Mark 9:14-21, and it's also found in Matthew 17:14-21, the same scripture. Little worded a little bit different. Let's look at Mark 9:22. And this is the story of Jesus had just got done on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down, and his crowd meets him. And he knows he's been talking about going to the cross with Elijah and Moses. They've had a high priestly meeting. He just got out of that high anointed meeting, and he comes down, and all these people are there. And the first thing that's dumped on him is this. And in one of the scriptures, he says, how long am I going to be with you? He's very frustrated, but he goes on and deals with it anyways. This is that particular scripture. But starting in Mark 9:22, and the man that with the demonic son is explaining what's happened to him. He says, and often he has thrown him in both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. Now, who's he saying believing? If you can believe, telling the man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Whose faith is Jesus relying on here? The guy's looking at Jesus to do something. Jesus is saying, I can if you believe. That's several places in Scripture. When Jesus is miracles, he'll say, according to your faith. And we're going to look at those. If you can believe all things. Now, is Jesus a liar? If he says all things are possible to him who believes, then they are possible. We see the same thing in Matthew 17:14-21. So let's look at Matthew 17:19. That's the same circumstances. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Now he's already dealt with it, already cast a demon out. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? They had before. Jesus sent them and they had no problem casting anything out. They just did it because Jesus gave them his name. But in this case, they couldn't. And that's what upset Jesus when he came down. That should have been dealt with by the apostles, by the disciples. And it wasn't. So how long am I going to be with you? I can just hear the frustration. I want to get out of here. I want to go to that cross and get this done. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Notice a lack of faith stopped them. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing, how much is left then? Nothing will be impossible for you because you applied your faith and you believe. In another section further down, we can't go there now, but they explain why the disciples could not. They were arguing about who was the greatest among the disciples. They lost their faith. They've become carnal. They were more interested in which disciple had more power and was of a higher rank. And Jesus took them aside in that case and said, look, it's not the one that's the top that really is in authority. It's the one that's the least. You have to be servant of all, not top. He explains that. But they were arguing about that, and that's what stopped their faith. That's why they couldn't cast the demon out. If you have faith as a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed?
It's supposed to be like a flake of dust.
It's like a flake of dust. It is so small, you can't hardly see it. It's a mustard seed. But from that, this giant tree comes. Mm-hmm. Bush comes. And that's what he's saying. If you have just a little bit of faith and you believe, then this will happen if you apply your faith to it.
Excuse me.
The now faith of people was involved in the miracles that Jesus did. Your faith has made you whole. Be it unto you according to your faith. You'll see that in Jesus' statements as you study the Word, as you study the miracles that He did. And we're going to look at some of those. It is still the same today. Our now faith is also involved. And I was going to say always involved, because it is. Our now faith is always involved in whatever Jesus does. Let's look at Matthew 7:7-8. He always puts it back on the believer. It's what you do that makes the difference. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask. Who does the asking? I do. Or you do. And it will be given to you. Who does the giving to me? He does. But in order for it to come to me, I have to ask. Seek, and you will find. So if I'm going to get revelation knowledge, if I'm going to get understanding, if I'm going to find out how to make to work this, whatever my project is, I'm going to have to seek. How do I seek? Get in the Bible. The answer is here. Seek it. Search it. Pray about it. Ask. Do something to seek what your desire is. And you will find it. See, that's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I like looking for absolutes. When I study the Bible, I look for an absolute. Jesus said, ask, and it will, absolute, will be given to you. Seek, and you will, absolute, find. Knock, and it will be open to you. If you are in a bondage of some kind, you're doing the asking, the seeking, and then you knock. Mm-hmm. You're commanding that gate to open, that bondage to be broken. Whatever it is you're seeking, you're asking first, then you seek the knowledge, and then you knock. Mm-hmm. And it will be open to you. In other words, the bondage can't be held if you do that and believe it. Your faith is involved. Now Matthew 21 and verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly. Okay, what's assuredly mean? It's an absolute. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I assure you, this is true. Mm-hmm. You can't change this. Assuredly. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Two different things. You have faith and do not doubt. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Mm-hmm. If you have the faith and you start off this way and then you think, I wonder. You doubted. That's it. You start over. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, if it's conditional, and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So there's two things. You're asking in prayer. Do you believe it? If you don't, then forget about asking for it, because you're not going to get it. How do you ask? You ask based on the Word. Father, your Word says, and I'm asking for this to be manifest in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that your Word is true. I place my faith on it and I believe it. Then when you walk out that door, somebody asks you, how's it going? Is that coming to pass? Oh, yes. God's Word says. Well, do you see it yet? No. But I have my title deed. Or you say, well, I don't know. I'm just not sure. I prayed. I ask God, but I just don't know. Last time I prayed, I didn't get anything. What did you do? You already unplugged and you just got done praying. You doubted it. You had no faith in it. So why did you even pray? Well, just in case God heard me. No, He always hears faith. He always hears His word. So, who unplugged? You did. Don't blame God for that not coming to pass. You stopped it. Now, Matthew 9:18, this is a famous one. And it's also found in Luke 8:40-43 and Mark 5:21-43. I'm just going to use Matthew 9:18. I'd like to go to the others. I'd like to go to the whole thing, but I don't have the time for it. This is a story of the woman with the issue of blood. And you know the story. Jesus comes in and this high synagogue person wants him to come and heal his daughter. His daughter was supposed to be dead, and lay hands on her and all of that. And he gets up to go. He's on his way to that house to deal with that. But as he's going, this woman comes up. Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Now, is that faith? That guy has faith. She died. So Jesus, he saw his faith. Man, I'm going. I'm going to help this guy. So he gets up and he's heading with this crowd. The whole crowd's going to this guy's house, you know, to raise this girl up from the dead. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, not just a few days. One of these other versions says, she spent all that she had and was no better. She was, in verse 21, or let's go back to 20. And suddenly a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now he's walking. Mm-hmm. For one, number one thing we need to remember with this woman, she was not supposed to be there. That issue of blood made her unclean. She had to stay away from any crowd or any person. And she had to say, unclean, unclean, so nobody came near her. She could have been stoned for what she did.
For touching his hem.
Pardon?
Yeah, for touching even being his in public.
Yeah. She not only, by their religion, she not only affected all of those people around there, mm-hmm. made them unclean, mm-hmm. but she made Jesus unclean. By their law. So this is a major thing with this woman. She's hopeless. She's as far as she can go, she dies. Not she's going to die because of the issue of blood, or she's going to die because she goes there. So she sees Jesus. And it says here in verse 21, "For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole.'" What's that? That's an absolute. If I can just get to him, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed and made whole. She took everything into her hands. She's going to die either way. Her last hope is Jesus. Now there's another place in the Bible that talks about, I forget, Gennesaret or one of those countries Jesus goes to. And when they see him coming there, I was going to look it up and I forgot it. And when he comes there, they go and get everybody that they can that's sick just so they can touch his garment.
The Gadarenes.
The Gadarenes, that's where it was. Just so they can touch his garment and be healed. I don't know if she heard about that somewhere, knew about that.
He had just come back from Gadara.
That too. So I don't know where she got that idea at of just touching his garment. But she did. Look at what she said again. For she said to herself, this is her confession, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Verse 22, but Jesus turned around when he saw her. Now this part right here is not as detailed as Luke and Matthew is. First here, he's got all these people around him. He's heading for this ruler's home to raise up this dead daughter. He senses everybody's touching him, pushing on him. This crowd's so big, they're pushing on him. And he's headed there, almost like pushing his way through the crowd to get there. And then he stops. Somebody touched me. Who touched me? The disciples say, well, Lord, everybody's touching you. Mm-hmm. No, somebody touched me. He's looking for this woman. Because it says virtue or excellence went out of him, power went out of him, because she touched his garment.
That's in Matthew 14 where they brought him.
Matthew 5, yeah.
About other people coming to touch his garment.
Yeah.
That's in Matthew 14.
Gadarene. Yeah.
I'll see what it is here.
I didn't have time to look up all that. But the whole story is, there's more to it than just him turning around and seeing her. There's a lot going on here besides just turning around and seeing her. He actually felt the power go out.
Wow.
He felt her faith drawing the anointing from him.
Yeah, it was genetic.
Her faith drew the anointing out. Jesus didn't heal her. He didn't do anything. He just had the clothes on. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. But she was desperate. So her faith, what she had said, if only I can touch his garments, I'll be made well. That's her faith hollering. Let's see what Jesus said. But Jesus turned around when he saw her. He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Some versions say whole. King James says whole. Now there's a difference between being made well and being made whole. We see that on some lepers here. To be made whole means if you were missing something, you didn't have an arm, the arm came back. Made whole means nothing missing. So she was completely, depending on the version that you read, made whole. Here in the New King James, it's made well. In the King James, it's made whole. And the woman was made well from that hour. There's so much going on here. I just love this. I'd like to take time with the whole thing. I took too much time already with it. But these are so powerful. He pointed to her faith. Here we're going to look at another one. Matthew 9:27, just down the page. When Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now he's walking. Disciples are with him, probably a crowd, and they're blind, and they're hollering at him. They're hollering at him, and have mercy on us. Well, that gets Jesus' attention. But it says, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Now, these guys, they didn't stay outside. They came into his house. They think they're desperate here. They want an answer. I mean, you know, come on, guys. I'm tired. can't you at least knock? You get the image of them just walking in. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. What did he do? He agreed with their faith. They tapped in like that woman with the issue of blood. She tapped into Jesus' faith by what she said. These blind men tapped in to his faith by what they said. Yes, Lord, I believe. That's why Jesus said, do you believe? do you believe that I can do this? Mm-hmm. Had they said, well, I hope so, sorry, it won't work. Their faith wasn't active. Mm-hmm. But their faith was active. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 5, 21 to 28, mm-hmm. we see the Canaanite woman. Mm-hmm. Now, this woman, we don't have time to go through it. But the Canaanite woman, she's a Gentile. Jesus was only, and he says this in this verse, this section of scripture, he was sent only to the Jewish people. He was not sent to everybody. He hadn't been to the cross yet, so he couldn't do what he wanted to do. Legally, he couldn't help this woman. He had to get her to lay claim to it. So he called her, he even said, I'm not supposed to give the
children's bread.
The servant's bread. Children's bread to the dogs.
Yeah.
He called her a dog. Why? Because he was getting her to do something. Without her doing something, he couldn't.
So he made her mad.
So he made her mad. So that she, what she said, well, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the floor of the master's table. Off the floor, and he's for this thing, lady. That's what he done. In Matthew 15:28, we're going to focus on that. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. It's according to what she desired, not what Jesus desired. Her faith was drawing that from her. He had to position. He had to be in a position that he could help. Otherwise, legally, he couldn't help her mm-hmm. because she was a Gentile. You see, that's a powerful section of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Now that the cross has happened, he can help anybody that comes. But before the cross, he couldn't. He was limited. Matthew 15:28. We read that. In Mark 10:46-52, we see the story of blind Bartimaeus. We also see this story in Luke 18:35-43, but they don't call his name there, but it's the same story. It's identical. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, and we're going to go with 51. I can't go through all of that. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Bartimaeus was sitting along the roadside, and he heard this big noise, a whole bunch of people. He's blind. What's going on? And they tell him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's wearing his beggar's coat. So he starts hollering the same thing, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus is walking, so Jesus stops. And he calls him to him. Jesus was hearing a heart cry from this man. Why didn't he just help him as he walked by? Because the man didn't say anything. He called on Jesus. See, he called. And he kept saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. So then Jesus stops and says, bring him to me. They had tried to get him to shut up. But they, instead he said, oh, the master wants you.
Now,
he wants you. So they take him to him. They take blind Bartimaeus to Jesus. Jesus knows he's blind. Why did he ask this question? So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The man had to ask. And he had to be specific. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, or Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Not Jesus' faith, your faith.
It's kind of interesting how many blind people, people who couldn't see.
Yes, couldn't see.
Couldn't see, but yet they...
One, he created eyes that were not there.
Yeah.
He spit in the mud, made paste and rubbed it over the guy's eyes. Man, he recreated those eyes.
They understood what so many other people couldn't.
Oh, yeah. They always, their other senses are always enhanced when you lose your sight. In Luke 17, 11 to 19, we see the story of the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Only one, a Samaritan, returned to give thanks to Jesus. That's another powerful one. There's 10 of them. He tells them, go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't do anything. He just tells them to go show yourself to the priest. And they're healed of leprosy. From the arms falling off and everything else. And they're headed to the priest and they're healed on the way. They're just walking all of a sudden.
At least they had the faith to take off.
Yeah, he didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. The Jews kept on going. This Samaritan, who was a Gentile, Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles.
And he couldn't have went to the priest anyway.
He couldn't go to the priest because he was considered
unclean
by being a half breed. He was a half breed. That's what he was. But he's the only one that came back. And we see that in Luke's, we're going to focus on Luke 17, 19, for the sake of time. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. He came back. And when he comes back, he says, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The 9 who were Jews should have come back. But this guy that had no right to did come back.
And they could have come back just to say thank you, because going to show themselves to the priest was a long, drawn-out process.
Oh, yeah.
It took weeks.
And he couldn't do it anyway.
To do all that the law required.
Yeah, and that's important. Like my mother said, if you go back to Deuteronomy and the law, they explain what they have to do.
And they ain't allowed to go to their house. They have to camp outside for 7 days. Then the priest looks at them and they do something else for 7 days. And I mean, it takes a long time.
It takes a long time.
Through what they want.
We think they just went to say, hey, look at me. That's not what they did. When they said, hey, look at me, the priest had a long, drawn-out thing he had to go through.
They had to get birds, they had to get a lamb, they had to do all this stuff.
And they had to inspect it to be sure it wasn't different colors, and all that's explained in Deuteronomy.
It's in Leviticus.
Leviticus, yeah. But,
I think it's chapter 14.
Yeah, I think it is. Leviticus. Matthew 18 to 20. I'm trying to get this closed here. I really got two more, but I want to get this one. And then we'll close up. But as you read the miracles of Jesus and think about them, remember, he almost always points to the person's faith. It's required. And as we go to pray, our faith is involved. We have to believe this. If we don't believe it, you're wasting your breath. And because you have to believe what you're praying for. Your faith is involved in everything God does. And you can look at faith and trust. And look at them kind of together, not the same. Trust has to be granted, but you're trusting the word. Lord, I trust you to do what you said you would do. I trust you. And once you grant that trust, you don't change it. No matter what the circumstances say, you go back to that scripture you're standing on and say, I know what I see, but the word says. The word is a higher law. And if you do that and keep and stand on that scripture, it will happen. Maybe not in your time frame. But if you don't stop, it will continue, it will come to pass. Okay, Matthew 18:18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you, not Jesus, not God, whatever you or Michael, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. There's absolutes in that scripture. Mm-hmm. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Mm-hmm. He's here. He's with us. Can't see him, but we know he's here. His word is here. His presence is here. And the Holy Spirit is in each of us if we're born again. Assuredly, I say to you. So if we have something that needs to be bound or loosed, we have the right to do that in his name. Again, our faith is involved. Not God's faith. He gave us his faith to use. He gave us his name. He gave us his word. There's nothing we can't accomplish with the word. You know, I am not going to go up to God and say, yeah, God, I prayed some 1904. I didn't have 1904. I wasn't around. But I prayed in 2014 for this, and it never did happen. What happened? God, you know what he'll tell me? You didn't believe. You stopped me. I stopped God. If you turn your faith off, you did. Don't blame God when something doesn't happen, because it's somewhere along the line you're out of line. Mm-hmm. And the thing you go to God with is, Father, I'm not seeing the results I thought I would. Now, either I'm out of order somewhere, I'm misunderstanding something, I'm not doing something I should be doing, or it's just not time yet. But I know your word's true. I don't doubt your word. Your word is absolute truth. So if I am out of order somewhere, if I don't understand something, please give me revelation knowledge, or send somebody by that knows and can help me with this, because I know it's not you. I know it's not your word. It can't be your word. I'm out of order somewhere. Something's not right, or it's just not time yet. Mm-hmm. There's only two things. It's not the other person. When you're praying for someone, it's not the other person mm-hmm. that hinders your prayer. You hinder your prayer. Mm-hmm. But they're involved. They have to. Their free will is involved. But you can mess Satan up and take care of to where they can understand. But you can't change their mind for them or make them do something. But if it's a circumstance like finances, healing, or anything that is related to you, your children, your parents, whatever that is that you have authority over, you take this word, you believe it, you trust it. If it's not happening, there's only really a couple reasons. One reason is, it's just not time yet. It's in process. The other is, you're wrong somewhere. You made a mistake. You're not doing something. You're shortcutting. You're believing something that's not in the Bible. Something's not quite right somewhere. But it has to work. If it's the word and faith, it cannot not work. If you've done your part, mm-hmm. and if your understanding is improper, mm-hmm. So don't ever check God out. Check you out. The first place you go, you know where it is. Jane knows. Mm-hmm. Love walk.
Love walk.
Mm-hmm. Go right back to me, mm-hmm. and I check my love walk. Why? Faith works by love. Mm-hmm. Without love, it will not work. So if you're out of order, if you're sideways with somebody, if you haven't forgiven, if there's something like that, deal with it. Because it will stop your love. You stop your love, you stop your faith. So that's the first place you go to your love walk. If something's not working, go there first. Because that's usually where we're out of order at. And you know, we give you a list of what that love walk is. So, Well, Father, we thank you for this time and your word today. Lord, I love this word. I love your word. I love it. I believe it. I trust it. And I trust you, Lord. It's been 74 years of life. I've walked with you since 81. Since 1981, I've walked with you. And I've seen you time and time and time again show your mercy and grace and loving kindness to me and through me. I love you, sir. I set my love upon you. And I know we do in our hearts. We thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for revelation knowledge. And we ask you, Lord, to reveal in our lives wherever we need to change something. Show us and then strengthen us so that we can make those changes. We want to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.